Hosting Hochatown brought to you in part by First State Bank, member FDIC, Mountain Fork Brewery, and Hochatown Distilling Company. Podcasting from the Washburns Home Furnishings Studio, I'm Jay Lindley alongside Shiloh Martin and Todd McDaniel. A good afternoon, sirs.
Dirty Toe.
What's up, fellas? Good to be here.
It is great to be here.
The Toe Jam.
Well, you know.
Which one do you prefer?
Speaking of jammed, I hear Shiloh's messed you up at jujitsu last.
He did.
Was you talking about that or something?
I was earlier.
He was telling me
he messed my good shoulder up.
It was an accident.
He says it was an accident, but he intentionally did what he did. Now,
yeah, I'm
right.
I did the move.
The damage may have been accidental.
Yeah.
But no, nah, it was a good move. It was slick. It worked. And I'm just old, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel that.
No. I don't know what it's called. It's like a sit out, or I guess like a sit through from like front headlock position. And if you're not expecting it, it'll flatten you out.
Yeah. And I wasn't expecting it, and it did. It worked, and I'm good now. I think. I mean, it's sore, but
Josh has flogged me with it many a time, and so well, now I do it.
When Josh does it, I can get my arm through. Because, his leg's shorter.
Yeah.
But when you did it, I was hooked, man.
Yeah.
And it was a face. It was either face plant or get my hand down. And I got my hand down. I should have face planted.
Yeah. Well, that's what I always end up doing. Speaking of Josh, I tapped him last night.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
We started rolling, and he tapped me pretty quick with an arm bar. And so then I was like, I ain't letting that happen again. I'm tired of this Joker armbar. So we fought to the bitter end, and he tried to armbar me again, and I got out of it. I mean, a true escape. And he was like, "Well, that's a first." I mean, he had the grips and everything, and then I landed on top, and I just squashed for 3 minutes, and finally ended up getting a straight armbar.
So. That's what you get for having a blue belt, Josh.
Yeah. Right.
I should have took it from you. We were in no gear. I would have took it from you.
Took it off of you. I remember that. I like that idea.
This is my blue belt.
I've been nursing an elbow injury from one of Josh's arm bars.
Yeah,
I
noticed you hadn't been there either.
Yeah. It's almost got full range of motion again. So.
All the old guys have been
I know.
Out.
I had every intent of being there last night.
I'll be there tomorrow night.
I had an owner meeting that ran long. And so.
Can't imagine.
Well, this is Hocha Talk, although we could talk about jiu-jitsu probably for a while. But, Todd, you recently came back from the Capitol. I don't know how much details you have yet from that, but I know – so you've been out lobbying for Hochatown recently. You got any news for us for Hocha Talk?
Yeah. I was up there a couple of weeks ago and met with some of the higher-ups and just to discuss – Hochatown and the future of Hochatown and planning and kind of just get an idea of the best way for all of us to move forward.
Todd, how's it feel being the first guy to go from the state pen to the state capitol?
I don't think I'm the first. I don't think I could take that designation.
I'm sure there's been some people in
and
the office.
I've never been in the state pen. Just the
county.
County.
There you go.
County pen. County pen. I never was big time.
Yeah, I've been to the dog pound.
Yeah.
I recently saw on social media that residents of Hochatown could actually, email ODOT about some of the things we've talked about here on Hochatown.
Yeah,
before.
Kind of a beautification type sidewalks, those things. I mean, yeah, I hope people sent letters in.
We announced it here on the radio, on yeah. our radio stations.
Nice.
And, you know, it helps. Those are federal grants and money that's out there, so you got to kind of do, you know, it seems kind of obvious who would not want sidewalks and,
man,
you know.
Yeah.
But
and as a tourism town, like we've talked about it so many times, that is a place that needs to be walkable, bikeable, all that.
At least portions. You're right. Yeah. Because
yeah.
it'd be hard, like you said, to get from north to south.
Yeah.
NoHo to Soho.
There's three. Yeah. There's yeah. three hubs of Hochatown. And
and I agree. And I think in the end, you know, kind of the vision I see for that part of Hochatown is something similar to that. How it actually gets laid out, you know, needs some planning.
Right.
But that was part of the issue of going down to the Capitol was to try to get some interest in the bypass or the loop, you know, that goes around Hochatown. I know there's some different parts of different groups that are advocating for the 3-lane or advocating for the 5-lane, but that really wasn't my intention going down there. You know, I wasn't picking a side or
gotcha.
Nothing. It was simply, and according to ODOT in a recent meeting, even the 5-lane won't be adequate in 5 years. Yeah. You know, if growth stays the way it is.
Right.
So if that's the case, then, you know, let's come up with a better plan. And that was really the reasoning I went to the Capitol. I've kind of had discussions with all the parties that are going to be needed to make it happen. And now we just need some big dogs to get behind it. You know, that's how you get things done.
Talking about me and you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
You two guys.
Spokesmen. Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha.
So, but we had some good talks, and I think we made progress. You know, of course, like everything, it moves at a snail's pace because now we got to have another meeting.
Right.
But we do have some meetings scheduled with all the parties involved that are going to be necessary to make something like that happen. And so hopefully here in the near future, we've got everybody sit down, and everybody's willing to at least put out what they're willing to do, how they're going to participate, yeah. And then we can actually get a plan put together to make it happen. Because if what ODOT says is true, and in 5 years the 5-lane is inadequate, then why did we just tear up the town for 5 years?
For 5 years, yeah.
Right, I mean, exactly.
Because road construction is not fast. Right.
As soon as the road construction's done, now it's not adequate.
Right. I mean, to me, I was just sitting in that meeting going, okay, so why not? You know, and I know these 8-year plans can be revisited every year. They look at them, and if they need revisions, they'll make them. And, you know, ODOT, they're an agency. They're not going to change what they've all agreed on. They're right. not. So you got to take somebody that's above their pay grade, I guess, to get behind your project and be like, hey, guys, let's revisit this. Right. And then once they're told by their boss, then they'll start. Yeah. But, you know, just us here saying, hey, we need to, it doesn't get a lot of traction. And ODOT has agreed to have another meeting, town meeting, I believe, in Hochatown sometime in March.
Nice.
So I think that'll be good. That'll be one thing that I think we've been missing this whole time, because a lot of those previous meetings were held before we were a town.
Yeah.
And I think we need to have another ODOT meeting as a town in Hochatown and just hear out the business owners and the people.
Will that be like a town hall style meeting?
I would guess. I mean, yeah. ODOT's going to be the one kind of running holding that meeting. Gotcha. So, yeah.
And there's no fast track to any of it.
That's true.
The crazy part. So really, at this time, all it's doing is kind of delaying any road work, huh?
Well, no, because they're still got – their actual scheduled start of actual construction on that north end isn't for like 2 years.
Gotcha.
They're going to do going to do the area from the casino south first, basically. Is what we've been told that's their plan.
Where will it go?
From casino south all the way back to the other park entrance.
Yeah.
And then from there back to like Sherry Lane. Or no, not Sherry Lane, Sweet Home.
Sweet Home.
Sweet Home, I believe.
Really?
Is the next part. And then in 2 years or roughly then they'll start on that north end.
Maybe the county, I mean, that's not too bad. If you could get 4 lanes or whatever all the way to Sweet Home and then maybe improve Sweet Home out to the 3.
Well, and that's an option that we need to sit down and discuss. I mean, all things are on the table here. And, you know, the county needs to get involved.
One of the early Hocha talks you mentioned, no matter, and I think that's what you're kind of saying here without having said it, no matter the street project, the highway project the ODOT goes with, those feeder roads are going to have to be up to par for 5 years from now.
Oh, I believe so. I mean,
unless they were able to take it all the way to the main 4-way in Broken Bow. And then, not that it eliminates the feeder roads, but that's the problem, is the bottleneck, like we've talked about.
Well, that to me, that's one of the problems. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem with the finished project as it's laid out there now, is we still have a bottleneck.
We're doing all this work to just still bottleneck.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, there's a lot of secondary issues that are going to come about, though, once the construction starts. And that's just the negative impact that the construction is going to have on tourism.
And we've already seen that when they redid the bridges.
Yeah.
You know, that was just a few years ago, but boy, was it troublesome.
And it's a 5-year-long project. I mean, that's from ODOT. You know, when I ask how long is this going to take, we'll be here in some capacity for 5 years.
Call it 8.
Yeah, might as well.
You know what I mean? Call it 10.
I mean, look at Valiant. I mean, I'm pretty sure that it's gone past its due date.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it's just – and that's government agencies doing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, work. I mean, as somebody who grew up in Oklahoma City, the I-40 project there, or I-44 project there, where I-235 and 44 intersect. I think it just recently finished after 15 years.
And that's not a knock on ODOT. I'm not trying to bash ODOT. It's just how
it's just the way just government
works. We just don't work like the Japanese.
I mean, well,
have y'all seen? They'll take out an overpass and redo it in a night.
Like.
You've never seen those time lapses?
Uh-uh.
Oh, they're crazy.
Wow.
They'll do a time lapse of them, like literally taking out an overpass and rebuilding it in a very short amount of time.
Or even the Jehovah Witnesses. They built that church here in Broken Bow in like a weekend.
Dang.
Y'all remember when they built that thing?
Uh-uh.
The Jehovah Witness church right there, but it was by
over on the right
Joe
side.
Bob Smith, CPA,
yeah,
used to be.
The Kingdom.
They literally built that in like a week.
Dang.
I don't know.
All
volunteers,
probably.
It was all the people from the congregation out there working.
They
built that sucker.
Maybe
fast.
We shouldn't separate church and state.
But
maybe we should have a state church.
There's
and they build the roads.
State church. At least they pay taxes.
Don't.
Anyway,
you're gonna make me edit.
No, I love this.
No, I have a. Well. We can get into that on another day.
Yeah. So, any more on the roads?
We got Garver Engineering. I've said this. You know, they're working on their report. Hopefully, that thing is any day we get something from them. This is all kind of just repeated stuff that I've said on here before. But we're trying to figure out what we can do as far as the roads. I mean, and basically, we've come up with the final resolution that we've come up with is we've got to contact every individual private landowner whose lot goes to the middle of that road, and they've got to basically give the town that portion of their land maintains the road.
And I'm sure 96% of them will willingly do it, and then there's going to be 4% who are just buttheads.
No. Nope. I mean, you will. I mean, you'll get
cool,
somebody.
You'll just have a pothole right there.
Yeah, just go around. But that's a big project. That's a lot of people and a lot of, you know, finding addresses and contacting and – I mean, that's going
to
be a huge undertaking.
Start with one road.
That's what I think. Just pick one road, and that's the one we're going to start on. And
but then you have everybody mad that it wasn't their road.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get.
Well, the thing about it is grow up.
Well, that's true. But we are.
Yeah, true.
And,
if you want your road done first, go ahead and you do the legwork and send it in.
Yeah, contact them. We'll go ahead and send it. Yeah.
And I think roads that we could all consider are probably main thoroughfares, you know, that wouldn't get much.
Sugarberry, Camp Ranch.
Yeah. Sugarberry, Camp Ranch, Luke Fada.
Yeah.
And then, Crest, but Crest is outside the
the
city limits.
That's what's crazy to me. I seen them grading it the other day, and thank you, county officials, for grading it. Man, that thing's been getting beat up for years. And, like, none of this influx of money, no one ever thought, like, why don't we just go ahead and fix Crest? Like, it just seems too obvious. So have you guys heard, and I don't know, this isn't confirmed, this is Facebook news.
Uh-oh.
Breaking.
This just in.
Allegedly, and I mean allegedly, the money collected for the parking in the park, state park, that was supposed to stay at our state park, is allegedly being held by some officials in Oklahoma City. All of the state.
Well, okay. Now, I don't know how the parking fees were drawn up and how they were presented, but I know that all the money the parks make go to a central place, and then it's divvied out by the state.
Well,
so it's not being divvied.
But that was the big deal when we had the park manager on. That was the big push for, like, hey, pay your parking passes, because every dime of Beaver's Bend parking comes back to Beaver's Bend.
Yeah.
And that was allegedly the...
Yeah, I remember that statement.
Yeah, so...
So maybe what you're saying is the alleged Facebook news is that they're holding...
That's what was
what should
said.
Be our funds here in Broken Bow, or in at the Beaver's Bend State Park.
That's what was
okay.
said.
Interesting.
I'll find
well,
the post.
I mean, all right. And probably, there's probably some truth to that, I would assume. I haven't looked at it, but you also got to probably figure that...
Very politically correct answer there, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
This is Facebook user Ryan Gillum.
Shout out
to Ryan Gillum, who just cannot take a break, has to be involved in everything. Love you, Ryan. But Jesus, man, could you take a day off? He says, it's been brought to my attention that the state is holding the funds that Beaver's Bend has been collecting for the parking fees. This money was supposed to go back to the individual parks to be used as they need for improvements within the park. Currently, there is between $650,000 and $700,000 that's been collected just through Beaver's Bend in an account that they cannot access. Shelley Zumalt, the director of tourism, is behind this. We've got some conspiracy.
Uh-oh. There's always conspiracy attached
yes.
to
me. Sounds like Eddie Dempsey and George Burns need to be made aware of this, who are our elected officials. Yeah. So that's apparently what's going on.
If I was just guessing, and this is just my opinion, but if I was just guessing, that is a true statement. They are holding them, but they're probably just trying to decide how to spend it.
How to
they're
get
probably
rid of
not
that,
just going to give
I
it
heard
to the
it's
park
not their freaking. I heard
it's
that's
not,
not what we decided.
Well, we need to see the original.
Yeah,
we need to see happened and how it was.
Yeah,
it's one
yeah.
thing to say something is this way, but if it don't read it that way
yeah.
in the print, they'll yeah. always go back to what it actually
right.
says. And so,
so we have to look at the actual law or whatever, the ordinance or whatever that would
right,
cause that.
That's called yeah. And how it was worded. And I'm sure it says in there how they will spend the money.
Probably.
And
you're right.
I bet it says that they will decide how the money's spent.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just guessing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But I do remember that statement that it was supposed to come, the parking specific.
Yeah, just the parking.
I will say it should. Because yeah. it's my understanding that our park and maybe one more are the only parks that really turn a profit.
That's what I've heard.
And if that's the case, then, you know, when I went to the Capitol a couple weeks ago, I met with some people in the tourism department and other things. And that was kind of their biggest concern was they know that this is their jewel as far as park goes, tourism goes. It's the number one tourist destination in the state.
Yep.
Well, it's behind Oklahoma City. But you
but
we don't
percentage
have,
per capita.
Yeah, per capita, yeah.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
We don't have professional ball teams. Nobody comes here with giant conventions like they do in OKC. So if you take all that out of their equation, we're the number one tourist destination
yeah.
in
yeah.
the state. And Dallas is still growing. Our market is still growing at a stupid rate.
Come on.
Yeah.
So you just figure and what's crazy is they'll look at those percentages. They'll go, well, it only grew by 2% this year. Well, the number, that 2% is from a way a lot bigger number than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that 2% is way more people than 10% was 10 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're still growing by a small town every year at
yeah.
least or more, and then we are that.
Remember, Macon, Georgia ain't a small town.
Right, right.
By God.
So you just figure that this area is still booming. So the state sees that.
Yeah.
And I got to believe that they're going to try to take care of what it is. You've got this
you
thing.
You naive imbecile.
Well, they're business people at the end of the day, and if something's making them money, let it make you money. Feed
yeah.
it. Mm. I mean, they gave $250 million to Muskogee for a battery plant or a lithium plant or something. They had $700 million they were going to give to try to get some plant somewhere.
Yeah.
Lithium or I can't remember, but it fell through. So then they took like $250 of that and gave to Muskogee, I believe. Okay. Here's another thing that generates jobs, makes mm-hmm. money, and it brings – here's the big thing about this that people don't mention. All this money comes from Texas, or most of it. It's
yeah.
not Oklahomans just – we're not just rotating
recycling,
our own
yeah.
money here.
Yeah.
We're bringing in outside money. To me, that's worth
we're looting
money.
Texas.
And Louisiana and getting some Arkansas.
Yeah, imagine
too.
If the state would donate money for a red phosphorus plant in Eagletown.
Hey, that's, I mean, if we're just talking money-wise here.
I mean.
Well, you'd be robbed. Like, no, hey, I'm going to step back.
Build a copper plant.
Eagletown
more of an anhydrous
has come
family,
leaps
so.
And bounds in the last 5 years. They've done a lot. The people
oh,
that live there have done a lot of work
oh,
to
yeah.
try to straighten it up.
No. Oh, yeah, we're
yeah,
saving totally. Face now.
They've made it. Well, they have.
Kidding.
They've
I'm
made improvements.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people now there that care about the community.
The community.
And
that's,
are growing
that's what
it.
I didn't want
yes.
to sound like. Because I know people that care about that.
Exactly.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
I
giving,
go
yeah.
eat breakfast there every morning, yeah. man. That's that first store there, the Mountain Fork.
I mean, I think they would be the first to tell you, yeah, there used to be a – well, the whole county was kind of
– yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody was asking me about that the other day. Isn't that the meth capital of the world? And I said, no. I mean, there
you
was
ever
a,
been to Chicago?
Yeah. There was a decade there, you know, where it was probably pretty rowdy. I said, but I live there. It's not a problem. And yeah. It's not like I have to, it's like anywhere else.
Except for you don't have much of a crack problem here.
I mean,
you know, it is going to be
heroin.
It's going to be meth or maybe a little yayo, a little cocaine or something like that.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of people just nodding off.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we got the higher-ups going in. I think, you know, we got some more meetings scheduled for later, but we're getting the players all lined up, and hopefully, you know, this is something we can do, and it's something the town needs and the community needs for just handling all the growth. And like I said, Dallas is still growing, so we're not going to stop until Dallas quits.
Nice.
And
that's what, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom right now, not just with Hochtown, but you know, specific to our area, yes, with Hochtown. I mean, interest rates are high, and there's been a lot of bad players in the game that have really put a bad taste in, you know, between, you know, bad builders not paying their subs and all, you know, just, I don't know, just feel like to me Hochtown kind of got a bad rap, you know. Yeah.
The Wild West was not a good name. I myself fell
victim to, you know, just working with some bad builders and getting, you know, getting laid out to dry, and a lot of the end users, you know, got that, and so there's a lot of kind of doom and gloom right now. But I just can't help but think, like, well, just what about in 10 years from now? Now that Hochtown is finally a town, like,
yeah,
there's no way it's gonna crumble.
Well, I mean, look at your business side of things. Step away as a trustee and just go to the business side of it. You still building? Are you still making deals in Hochtown? I mean,
I mean, things are still moving. Myself, I haven't taken on any new work just because, you know, of the situation we're in.
You got work to finish up?
I got to clean my plate off first and then kind of regroup. But there is a regrouping here. There's a readjusting because of, you know, the market. The market isn't the same as it was. Prices are going back down, which will help. Land prices are going down.
Which you said would happen all along. And how long has it been?
Some of the stuff wasn't sustainable.
It's a natural correction to things. But the thing that you need, the gauge I look at is occupancy in them cabins.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if you had like kind of an update on occupancy and ADR and kind of just an insight on the market.
Well, I'll just take February, for instance. Our February, we were up 11% occupancy. Now, money-wise, we were barely up money-wise.
So that was later. Does that translate to probably not as far out bookings?
No, it translates to the average daily rate that people are willing to pay to come here is down.
Oh, okay.
So as an owner, you kind of have to balance. Would you rather be 100% occupied making
50% of
$500 a night?
That's what you're saying.
Or would you rather be 50% occupied making $1,000 a night? You know, so occupancy is a great indicator, but to me, it's not as strong as ADR.
Well, and the sense. ADR is the ADR kind of dictates to me how much can I spend to get this return on my investment.
Right.
Like what?
I don't know. I'm just going off kind of like I enjoy the real estate thing, so I can listen to podcasts and read articles, and Todd knows way more and better than I do. But yeah, so if he's working off a percentage, whether he's making 30% of $1,000 a night or 30% of $500 a night, it's a little different. So if he's got less rates, you know, money-wise, he needs more occupancy to offset that overhead.
But with more occupancy comes more costs overall because less, you know, just...
Well, it's more work for basically the same amount of money.
More work for the same money. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but from a management standpoint, you're still passing some fees along to the end user. You pay cleaners, but you charge a cleaning fee outside of your 30% or 25% management fee. Yep. So your management fee really encompasses marketing and
bookings and
booking what your website cost and
customer service,
your call center people.
Right.
You know, so, and then your insurances and such.
So, again, back to if you have more occupancy, for less dollars, you still got to pay the cleaners, which means there's still fees, you know what I mean, outside of that to be paid. So it does cost more ultimately if they had a less occupancy with more money.
Yeah. Well, with the cleaning, every booking is going to have its cleaning fees. So really, I guess, regardless of occupancy and ADR, is cleaning kind of always going to offset?
Well, it just depends on how you charge out. But, yeah, you should have your – most people – they put a cleaning fee on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, a lot of times, sometimes that may not cover the whole cleaning fee. Like, you know.
Really?
Yeah, right. That's where I was thinking.
You charge $200, like, your cleaner charges you $300.
Right. Because it's a bad.
It. Gotcha. Yeah. That happens. But the thing with the – see, like that February, that's not real good for me as a management, is I got 11% more occupancy, which is good. But like, say, for the month, there was a small – the difference in revenue was like 3%.
Right.
I want that difference in revenue to match that occupancy.
At least,
change.
Yeah.
At least. So there. So that lets me know I need to readjust those numbers to where maybe I've only got a 5% increase in occupancy, but my money
is 5%.
So maybe we should have charged 10% more. Maybe we were a little too cheap that month.
Good point. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe in March, because in most of the companies are set up this way. Their software adjust pricing as you know, it looks at what's being rented, what it's going for, what's left, how many days till that's, you know, how many days to rent that, and then it'll adjust itself. And so maybe in there, you know, there was a little too much adjustment.
Yeah.
And that goes back to your point though, Jay, about booking late. The later people wait to book, the cheaper the night gets.
Yeah.
So if they can wait till last minute, they'll get the cheapest possible rate.
Right.
Because that's most of those systems adjust themselves. You know, if this weekend, if I got bookings, probably tonight, then prices are dropping. So now that you have so many cabins, people are able to sit there and shop and watch.
I got a guy that listens in Dallas, comes here like at least once a month, and he has learned that he chooses to wait. But he goes to some of the Facebook groups because some of the cabin companies, maybe even individuals, I don't know for sure who does it, will post what they got for maybe that night, or maybe they have maybe they have one night that's kind of in the middle of big ones and nobody's renting it, whatever. But he says he does that and he gets the cheapest rate you'll ever find by going on those Facebook pages and getting whatever's left that night.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that do that.
Cool.
And I see that on Facebook. I see, you know, it's kind of a – I'm not letting the cat out of the bag here. Anybody with any sense. But when you see a last-minute cancellation, most of the time that's not a last-minute cancellation.
They just had it left over. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm never saying that's not always the case, but most times it's not. But the occupancy, the fact that it is going up, though, lets me know that the people are coming. Now you just got to figure out how to maximize
your rate.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And be efficient. You know, if someone rents your cabin for $150 and they're in and they're out and they don't tear nothing up, you can survive.
Is there a way to rate the people that rent from you so you'll know that's a 5-star rater, we've never had a problem? That's a 1-star rater every time we get burnt on the cleaning.
You can go back now and rate on, I think it's VRBO that lets you go back and rate guests.
You should, just like Uber.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always thought that would be a good idea. Somebody smarter than me.
Yeah.
Put it out. Bad renters. You know, and if it shows up, you can check them. And because, you know, there are people that are bad.
I have seen posts on Facebook, hey, these people tried to rent from us. We learned it's going to be a party. So if they try to rent from you guys, let you know this is what this is.
And we share information back and forth, try to help each other out, because that happens. And then sometimes you get the people that try to get something for nothing. You know, no matter when they book, what they book, there's an issue. They want their money back, blah, blah. You know, there's that.
There's a whole, what do you call that? It's a whole group of people that are trying to get free trips anywhere they go that do that.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That you call in and say, oh, well, I had an issue. And sometimes, like you mentioned VRBO, I don't know them specifically do it, but one of those entities like that will just say, oh, well, it's free, and they'll charge you guys back.
Yep. And that's the problem with VRBO and Airbnb and them, is they always take the customer side.
Yeah. And that's why y'all don't use those, right? Y'all don't use online?
No, we do.
Oh, I know a lot of management companies don't use OTAs. Your uncle's.
I don't know if they do. They may not, but we.
I know they said that. I mean, when we had them on, they said they don't use online travel agencies. Like, they do their own booking.
Well, we do. We'll take. Of course, we ask our owners, do you want to be listed on, say, VRBO, Airbnb? Because there's a fee to it. And if they're willing to pay the fee, we go ahead and list them through those.
Yeah. So you have some that don't and some that do?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And we get quite a few reservations from them, but the majority of our reservations are through the web, our own website.
Awesome.
But we still,
What's that website again?
www.hiddenhillscabinsok.com.
.com.
Yeah, book your stay. But yeah, the occupancy to me is it's kind of the gas gauge, you know, where are we, you know, we're good. We're getting that increase according to ODOT and their traffic numbers. They're still going up every time they run their little counter. We got more people coming in and out. There's still cabins being finished, even though it slowed way down, which is good. Kind of been throttled back a little. The lack of water infrastructure slowed development down, which is good in the long run for all the development to kind of take us. It sucks for me as a developer, you know, but in the long run, for the whole scheme of things, it's better that we can throttle this back a little.
And you've said this, and I've heard others say this before, the water part specifically, or the sewage possibly even could be an issue with the more cabins you get, the less area you have to create.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically that makes sense, but every one of those systems meet a requirement that's put out there by DEQ. Now, whether they all work perfect, I'm not trying to say it's a perfect system.
Right.
But they meet DEQ requirements, and they do their job.
What's the city's plan? Are y'all going to tie into the one that was just built, or how's that going to go?
We're in talks right now. We've been told that the tribe would let us, you know, temporarily help us out. So that basically tells us, okay, we got this as a temporary solution, but we need to be working on a permanent solution
now. Yeah.
And that's part of the Garver Engineering. That's part of the task we've given them is to, you know, identify properties to where we could build a plant that would work, and then what's the feasibility of this, and just kind of work all that out, because we know long term we've got to have one. And to maximize that strip that we are always talking about, to maximize that area, we need city sewer, because you could double the amount of businesses up and down through there if you had city sewer. Now, tying into the cabins and all that, that would be so far down the line, you know.
That's a 20-year project, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it. I mean, if your systems, you'd have so many people that their system works.
Yeah, good point.
That I don't know
that you don't need it.
And you got to have all them people buy into it.
Good point.
Or, you know, it's not worth doing.
But like you said, up and down the line, up and down the highway.
Oh yeah,
that would make perfect sense.
Easy tie-in places. Yep. Yeah.
So it's basically, The nation is going to let you hop on but while you said you're already looking for places to possibly put something, and that's
a possible scenario. I mean, and they haven't come out and like offered us a contract. You know,
it's not
official, but in talks they've been like, you know, maybe we could do something temporarily. Of course, we would have to fund the infrastructure to it, so we need to find out where the best place for our plant to go is. That way, when we do the infrastructure, we do it in a way that we can just disconnect from them and hook up to wherever we need to go. Something simpler.
Now, is a gravity flow situation, that seems to be like one of the better options for a town/city to go with. Is that something that's available there in Hochtown? I don't know. I don't know enough about
the part of it. There is, but once you get past, where's that first little dip there? Right before you get to Sugarberry. You got that little hill. Once you get past that elevation there, you'd have to have a pump station.
Right.
It's all up.
Yeah,
And so, you know, I can see there being two or three pump stations at least, and kind of going down that main corridor. You know, it's all doable. It's just a matter of funding it and getting it done. And back to Shiloh's point, the doom and gloom and everything, the sky's falling kind of attitude that's kind of been happening a little bit, is it's just a correction to what was happening during COVID. I mean, that's the best way to look at it.
Yeah, if you're a stock player, you've been in correction for a couple years, 3 years now. So if you're on stock market, then
I'm kind of open for another COVID. Let's get another round.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Let's start skinning some bats.
I'll know what to do this time. I'll be ready.
Pandemic. Because I think this part of the country, like we've seen it everybody here, you know, you'd still have your East and West Coast doing their thing.
We never skip a beat.
Yep.
We just kept
so going. How's tax revenue? Is it as expected?
It's low. It's not what it should be because, you know.
Is that a collection issue?
It is. It's people not paying a collection, which we've got that group Avenue that's going to help us get that done. But, yeah, I would say the lodging tax is probably half of what it should be as far as.
So how's it looking? I know y'all were projected like $800,000 a month.
Oh, I don't think we're quite there yet. Now, this summer will be a real telltale sign, is where, you know, who we should be able to get a good idea of how many people are not actually paying their lodging tax.
Right.
And hopefully this Avenue group within the next few months has a good idea, and they've contacted everybody and, you know, get compliance. We have a meeting Wednesday, and I wish I had those, our numbers for the Wednesday meeting, but I don't have them yet. But, you know, I think we got a little over $2.5 million in the account, and we've been about a year. Has it been about a year now? I guess we've only been collecting taxes.
Yeah, for a couple months.
Yeah.
No, it's been a little longer than that.
Since August of last September?
Seems like that.
Seems like around there.
Yeah.
That's a couple months to me.
And, yeah, it feels like a couple months for sure.
And so we've got some money to do some things. And we've hired a city administrator.
Oh, really? Tell us about that.
Adam Bossen out of Goldsby. He's the city manager, or was the current city manager at Goldsby, Oklahoma.
Where's that?
By Norman.
And what kind of town is it?
Smaller town. It's not a real big town. He's got a degree in like city administration, you know, and he's been a city manager. He's younger guy. Seems to be full of grit and fire, you know, somebody that I think we need. I think this is going to be a 70-hour, 80-hour a week job.
Oof.
Nice.
I mean, I think it's going to be one of them. And we had the discussion of who is better suited for this, someone with a lot of experience. Well, unfortunately, with all that experience comes age. And, you know, most folks in their 60s and 70s don't want to have a 70, 80-hour-a-week job.
Yeah. True.
And we believe that that's what it's going to take to do the job. We looked at that. And we didn't get as many applicants as I thought we would, to be honest. But of the applicants we received, he was by far, on paper, the most qualified.
Okay.
Just what he's done and everything. And then he came highly recommended by a guy that's helped us a lot, George out of Frisco. He's been super helpful. He was the city manager at Frisco. He gave him a good recommendation. And then he come up and he's visited with us a few times. And just through my personal interviews with him, and I think he's the guy to do it, and we need it. You know, it's just something that we've needed.
When does it start?
I think he's going to try to start March here, like this week.
Where is he? Is he already moved down here?
No, he's looking for a place. He's looking for a rent house right now, and he's having trouble finding anything in Hochtown.
No surprise.
The cheapest one he found was like $3,000 a month, and so he's trying to find something a little more reasonable. Figure out something, but that was part of the requirement, is that he moved to Hochtown.
Right.
But I'm excited about it, man. It's something now where I can call him and, you know, like I have thoughts a lot of times sitting in the car or something like, oh, we should check on this. And then I make one phone call and then it dies, you know, till I can get back to it.
Right.
Where this is something he can get on it and he can bird dog, I mean, just get after it and get it done.
That's because that'll be his job.
That's his job.
I like that.
And, you know, I think we got our compensation package was deserving. I mean, I think it was good. And there's chances for him to, you know, really make more money if we meet certain criteria, goal-oriented type bonuses and things. And he seemed real good at getting money for the town he was in. I mean, there was a couple of different grants he got, I think, you know, $9 million or so for his little town.
Nice.
And so that's going to be a big asset, is somebody that can go out there and know how to get those funds.
Huge.
But that's one big thing that I think will speed everything up. Just trying to think of any other business. Did y'all see the lady selling dogs this weekend?
I did not.
No, but I know the puppy mill's really been talked about.
Really?
Well, before. They just moved to the south end of town outside of city limits, which, I mean, to me was the better place for them anyway, right there on the side of that spot there on the road where they kind of all moved to. But we had a lady selling in town.
It became an issue.
Well, it was like, I think another trustee ended up going speaking with her, and I guess it went well. You know, I was always concerned, what if she's like, I ain't moving?
Yeah.
Like, wait, citizens
arrest.
Call
the cops.
But our little ordinance, I guess, that we passed as far as you got to buy a permit kind of took care of that. And that was the point of it. You know, the bank didn't like people sitting there selling dogs in front of the bank. And
makes sense.
And it's always, it's kind of like anything else. One or two people doing it, it's not a big deal. You know, we can slide. Everybody kind of turn a blind eye to it. They're just trying to make some money, you know, no big deal. But then when you start getting 15 people, 20 people, and then
all
you
just sitting in a line selling different dogs.
Yeah, and it's got to be, you got to treat everybody the same. Can't give no special, you know, attention to anybody. So the best thing to do is just say, hey, this is how it is. Sorry. You know, I took so much flack from my kids and people about getting rid of the dogs. They're just trying to make some, you know. I'm like, well, I'm not doing it personally.
Right.
You know, but we gotta put some regulation on it or it will get out of hand. Anyway, but I think Hochtown is good. Like we was talking earlier about, you know, a collapse. The tribe is a business, and they didn't just invest hundreds of millions of dollars in something.
A quarter of a billion.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That they feel like is going to not work out.
Right.
And it's just started.
Quarter of a billion on phase one.
Exactly. That's right. And they still got like 90 acres or something right there.
Yeah, they could do a little bit on 90.
Did the chief tell us they had phase two and phase three already, like, start, like the works were?
Like on paper.
The idea.
Oh, I'm sure they do, but they are quiet. Boy, they will not tell you nothing until they are ready to tell you. I mean, even stuff that involves them in the process, well, like this bypass, for instance. I mean, they're a big player. And, I mean, in order to make it happen or at least make it happen efficiently and quickly, they're going to have to be a player in it.
Right.
And they will not commit to – they. I mean
– they're like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I mean
– yeah, show us the numbers.
Which is good. I mean, I guess it's a good way to run your business, but, you know, we're trying to build a town. It makes it hard on us because we go to one meeting and we're like, well, so-and-so's telling us that if we can do this, this will happen. But in order for this to happen, we need you guys to participate.
Yeah.
And they're unwilling to say yes or no, you know, so we're just kind of like –
in limbo-ish, yeah.
Nobody works off assumptions and beliefs, you know. And I can tell them all day, well, I think once we get it ball rolling, they're going to be helpful, which I do. I think
right. They
would. But it's like just kicking the can the first time, you know. It's just like, can we sit down and all just, what are you guys going to offer to do? You know, if it's nothing, then good. Then we know it's nothing.
Right. You just want to know where it's at, yeah.
And I think we're getting there. I think we're getting to that meeting where we're all sitting there and everybody's putting their cards on the table and we're like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And then at that point, then we can actually come up with a plan as far as our road system. And
well, I mean, speaking of the Choctaws and the roads, that area where they've been doing the construction looks like it's coming along pretty well.
Yeah. Who did that? They did that?
ODOT.
ODOT did it?
Them and ODOT.
Specifically them too?
That was fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Them and I wonder how.
Is that going to be a red light right there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's blinking yellow right now, right?
Yeah.
I'm mad at myself. I used to own that piece of property right there on that corner.
Oh, man.
Sold it for dirt cheap, man.
When?
A long time ago.
Last year. Sold it last year for like $250.
Yeah, that was silly.
I know. Man,
Looking back.
Hindsight.
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah. But no, it got me a mile down the road, and that's what I was needing to do. But yeah, so I think Hochtown is still the happening place it always was. I mean –
and I mean, to your doom and gloom, Shiloh, it seems like that borrowers are getting more used to the percentages that they're paying now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're buying into it again.
As
it goes down, especially, I mean, every 0.25% it goes down, more people are going to get back on.
Yeah.
And I think if you plan for that in your business plan, when you're sketching out what you're going to do with this and you take that into account, that was the biggest problem is – people had all this money out there and I was guilty of it. I'd never known high interest rates my whole life.
Right.
Like my whole life, money's been cheap as far as long as I've known. You go borrow.
What do you think the highest was? 6%?
Yeah.
For you, yeah. I remember talking with Tristan. You know, he said we were basically, you know, spoiled with what we as a generation have seen because some generations prior to us seen as high as 15-16%.
Well, I think there was like 21 or something crazy right there during the early 80s or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, you just got to adjust. And, you know, some people were in a bad position, had a lot of money, leverage out there financed. You're paying 3-4%, maybe even 5 or 6, and then all of a sudden it goes up to 8 and 9.
10.
And your whole business model changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to start dumping assets just to pay your interest. And some people can't do that. I mean, I feel bad for them. I feel bad, but, you know, it was a personal decision. But the people that come in and paid $1.2, $1.3 million for a 3-bedroom cabin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just really overextended and financed it and all that, you know, they're in a bad spot.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't have some
especially
kind of,
if they're like, you don't have any liquidity.
Yeah.
Anything they can make some. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's with any market. You know what I mean?
Those absolutely.
Things happen. Anytime you get that boom like that, you get some folks that, you know, it just don't work out. It's just, you know, and there'll be some people there with cash waiting on those things.
Yep.
To buy them up, you know. And right now, you know, you buy into stuff when stuff is cheap. Well, right now, you
stuff's
know, if
pretty
you
cheap.
Look at it like it's stock, yep. it's, you know, it's cheap. It's time to buy in.
I don't know, though. Some people are holding them prices.
Well, there's
always there's some of them.
I mean, like I'm saying, I'd say the larger percentage is still trying to – I mean, just regular houses around here, people are still shooting for the moon.
I agree with those.
It's just like car prices. Car prices are back, getting back down.
Yeah.
They're actively going back down. They're higher still, but they're actively going back down. But you can see on Facebook, somebody still wants 10 grand for that 82 Thunderbird that's kind of beat up. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Whereas they wanted 15, 20 grand for it last year, but they're still high.
Yeah, and it was worth 2,500 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's the crazy part.
I think that's – you're going to see housing prices there in Broken Bow start – they're going to go down even further, I think. I mean, because I still – like, I agree with you. When I see them on there, I'm like, man, that's still quite a bit.
I think a lot of the people – I may have already said this, but I think a lot of the people who have it have their stuff listed, though, is not people who are motivated to sell.
No.
Right.
I think it's like, yeah, I mean, you bring me $450,000, I'll let this go.
Right.
Well, it's like, take it off the freaking market right now because nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, but –
yeah, let's wrap it.
Anyway, but yeah, Hochtown, I think it's still a good investment. I always say that on here.
Of course
you know, I'm always behind it and hyping it up. But I believe in it. I'm not just blowing smoke. I believe it's a, you know, a still legit thing, even though some people want to give it a bad rap. And like I said, that occupancy rate, long as that sucker steep keeps, you know, holds steady or gets better. But yeah. I'm just saying.
This episode's wrapped. Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm about to go eat.
Yeah, all I got to go to work.
That's Hocha Talk.
Somebody needs to go to work.
Peace.
Peace.